Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
This is Chinook. I'm Deborah Niedermeyer. Since 1955, the Alaskan Native Health Service, ANHS, has been providing free medical care to all Alaskan Natives and their families. As an agency of the United States Public Health Service, ANHS is entirely federally funded. Alaska Native Health Service maintains clinics and hospitals throughout the state. Tom Hartrick is the Interior Alaska Director for the agency.
The U.S. Public Health Service is the overall parent organization for the Indian Health Service, and in Alaska, the agency is referred to as the Alaska Native Health Service. The funding is entirely from the federal government. The Alaska Native Health Service has a rather large beneficiary population. Of course, it would include all Alaska Natives in the state, but in addition to that, anyone who is a dependent of an Alaska Native, whether it's non-native or whatever, is eligible. Indians from outside of the state of Alaska, American Indians that are from a federally recognized Indian tribe, are also eligible, and their descendants. So the population group that's served is much, much larger than those persons that are just members of an Indian tribe or are enrolled as a member of a regional corporation. Besides the direct services of hospital services, dental services, medical services, we do offer a fairly comprehensive range of preventive services. We have two social workers, a psychiatric social worker and a medical social worker. We also have patient education services, and both of these programs are set up to try to keep people from to prevent them from requiring the critical type services of the hospital or physician care, and to help the patients to assume more direct responsibility for their own health care, and to take intervention on their own behalf rather than having to come to the doctor after it's too late.
As part of the Reagan administration's budget-cutting policy, the Alaska Native Health Service has been required to reduce spending by at least 12 and possibly as much as 22%.
The cuts have actually amounted to about a 12% cut so far over the level funding that we've needed. The agency has been advised that we will probably have to take an additional 10% cut. For the interior area, we have not been able to fill any vacant positions, whether they're physicians or nurses or dentists. We have also had to severely cut back on patient travel. As of December 1st, we will not be paying for any patient travel other than life-threatening emergency care. The other cuts that we've had to make are, for the most part, restricting administrative travel, training of staff, have cut out luxuries such as, or if you want to call them luxuries, we consider them almost mandatory types of things, as buying new equipment, supplies we've had to cut back so that we're only providing supplies that would provide immediate patient care. We've had to reduce the Saturday clinics and also the holiday clinics that we had up until November the 1st. We would routinely have a medical clinic every Saturday and also on every holiday. We're functioning what we think on a very substandard level right now. As for the future, we have been given the word that we're probably going to have to take a 10% cut in addition to those cuts that we've had to make already.
Is it affecting service?
So far, I think the impact on service has been minimal. It's going to be felt and from the patient's point of view when the travel funds are restricted. Now, in the interior area, we have elected to try to absorb as many of the cuts internally rather than passing them on to the patients. Some of the other Native Health Service areas, particularly in the Bethel area, the services have definitely been decreased. In that area, non-Native people are served because there is no other hospital, and the hospital there has elected, due to their cutbacks, not to provide services to non-Native people other than life-threatening emergency services.
Can you explain what travel is used for by patients other than life-threatening emergencies?
Well, say if a patient has a fractured arm, they're in a snow machine accident, breaks an arm or a leg, and they would have to come into Fairbanks or go to Tanana. Normally the travel would be paid for that, to get the patient in to have that problem taken care of. We've also paid to get patients in for some sort of specialty care. At Tanana, there are specialty clinics to take care of patients' ear problems, eye problems, orthopedic problems, obstetrical problems, and patients have been flown in to attend those clinics and to take advantage of the specialists that come up from Anchorage. And now that travel will not be paid.
My understanding is that if I break my arm in a snow machine accident in Huslia, I'm going to have to sit there and hope that somebody in town can set it?
Hopefully that's not what's going to happen. What we're hoping is going to happen is that somehow the individual's own finances or the community will come up with the money to assist that person to get in to provide the care that's needed for them. But we're not expecting that bone would be set in Huslia. And we're hoping that the funds will be made available by the people that live there to get that person in. That could be a tremendous problem, though, in the event that somebody just doesn't have the resources and the community doesn't have the resources. And I think that's one of the real scary things about the budget cuts, that is that somebody is going to get hurt out there and not have the resources to get in to have the problem taken care of. We've been working closely with Tanana Chiefs Conference here in the interior, and I know that the other Indian Health Service facilities have been working closely with the nonprofit corporations. The main area that we've been working with is having them do some lobbying for us to try to get some relief from the funding shortages, lobbying both with the federal congressional delegation and also with the state to see if there's some possibility that the state might be able to assist in providing some relief for the funding shortfalls.
Given the budget cuts, what's the worst that could happen?
Well, the worst that could happen, and this is right now is being considered, is closing down Tanana Hospital, which is something that has been talked about and has been planned for a number of years. I think the realities of Tanana Hospital closing down in the next year to 2 years are very good. And the budget cuts have made that a much more necessary thing to go ahead and shut down Tanana Hospital. It's a very expensive operation, and the number of patients that are served there are not what some of the other hospitals are serving. We're looking at reducing the medical staff here and the dental staff.
What's that going to do to workload?
Well, it'll increase the workload. It will result in patients waiting longer for services. It will also result in the physicians and dentists working harder, as hard as they possibly can, to still meet the needs. We will have to be more restrictive on the types of things that we will be serving. Right now, we do a lot of physical exams. We provide a lot of specialty care. And these types of things will have to be reduced so that we can use the staff that's available to meet the emergency medical needs of the people that we're serving.
What's the best that could happen?
The agency has been told that we are at best going to have to live with the shortfall of 12%. I think that is the best situation. The next best would well, which would go along with that is that we wouldn't have to take that additional 10% cut. And that's still going to mean a reduced level of services over last year. There are still going to be some major reductions in services, mm-hmm. patient travel, physician village visits and dental village visits. At the present time, we will be only making one village visit during this year, and previously the doctors had made at least two village visits. In the best case, Tannen Hospital will not close this year, but will probably close either in the year after this or possibly the year following that. But I think that because of the budget reductions that we've had to live with for the last couple of years, actually this started during the Carter administration, even before the Reagan administration got in, there had been some cuts. So it just, in the light of having insufficient resources, it just does not make sense to keep Tannen Hospital open.
Will any of the other hospitals consider closing?
I don't think so. I think that there is just too great patient demand for having those hospitals continue to remain open. Tannen Hospital is 150 miles from Fairbanks. Most of the patients that have access to Tannen also have access to Fairbanks. So the reduction should not hurt them medically as much as, say, it would if Barrow Hospital would close, or if Kotzebue Hospital, where the hospitals are much more remote and there's a much larger population that are served by those hospitals.
I asked Hartrick whether ANHS might have to stop providing care to Alaska Natives living in remote areas.
The care would be provided, but the travel for that care will probably not be provided, unless the physician and the health aide in the village consider that care to be a life-threatening emergency to the patient.
And if it's not life-threatening, people are going to have to come up with it on their own.
That's it.
How likely is it that they will have that money?
I would say that there's a good possibility that there are people out there that will not be able to afford it. And part of the reason that they will not be able to come up with the money is that the economic cuts that our agency has had to take has also been felt by some of the other agencies, the other federal agencies that have provided services to the people in the villages, such as the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Their social services programs have been cut drastically, and I think that the combined impact of both the Indian Health Service being cut and the Bureau of Indian Affairs being cut is going to produce some real hardships on the people.
You've been listening to Tom Hartrick, Interior Alaska Director for the Alaska Native Health Service, talking about effects of federal budget cuts on his agency. For Chinook, I'm Deborah Niedermeyer. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.